Good to have everyone here, whether you're online or in person. Thanks for being with us today. And if you've been following along the last few weeks, you know we're in a new series called Do It Again. And the big idea of the series is we all know we are in a time of disruption with this COVID pandemic. But I believe that God wants to use this time of disruption to disrupt his church and to disrupt his church in a way in which he brings revival to the church in North America. And the definition of revival that we're using for this series is this: revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And last week, I started to lay a foundation for the rest of the series. And we looked, if you were here last week, at Jesus' message. And Jesus' message was, the kingdom of God is at hand. We also looked together last week at Jesus' mission, which we find in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, where it says this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this week, we're going to look at how did Jesus go about proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. How did Jesus go about proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand? Here's the answer. I'm going to tell you the answer, and then we're going to unpack it together. Jesus went around proclaiming the good news through word, through deed, and through signs and wonders. And I believe, are we having a slide problem? We are. Okay, there's supposed to be, just go with me here, three circles on the screen right here. There we are. Wow, yeah, there we go. Word, deed, signs, and wonders. We're back fully functioning. Thank you, guys. Anyway, so Jesus went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom through word and deed and signs and wonders. He went around teaching about the kingdom of God. He went around doing good. And he went around demonstrating the inbreaking of the kingdom through signs and wonders. And when we talk about signs and wonders, we're talking about healings, the casting out of demons, and other miracles. First, Jesus went around, this is the word circle here, teaching about the kingdom of God. He went around teaching, speaking about the kingdom of God. And we, as we saw last week, the number one thing Jesus talked about was the kingdom of God. In Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus spoke and taught more about the kingdom of God than anything else by a long shot. Likewise, as Christ followers, we also need to speak about Jesus and his kingdom. We need to be people who know Jesus, who know his message, who know his word. And then we need to be people who share what we know. That the kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus, and that through him there is life and salvation. Then Jesus went around, second circle, doing good. That's the deed circle here. Jesus went around doing good. Let me just read a verse. It won't come on the screen. I'll just read it to you, though. Acts 10:38 says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and then Jesus went around doing good. Jesus' life was characterized by doing good. And as Christ followers, we also need to go around doing good. Like Jesus, our lives too should be characterized as people who go around doing good. After all, we're called to love mercy and act justly. That's part of what Live 6:8 is all about, right? Walk humbly, love mercy, act justly. Or as Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7 says, let the oppressed people go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. When we care for our neighbors, when we provide for orphans, when we serve the city, when we give shelter to the homeless, when we feed the hungry, when we help the oppressed find freedom, when we build schools and homes for needy people, we are showing the inbreaking of the kingdom. We need to understand that. When we do those things, we are showing the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Let me share a story today about doing good. It's about a man named Hassan. And Hassan is the president of Mission for All in an African nation. In that nation, Hassan and his teams go out into Muslim communities offering to do good for the community. Things like build schools, build medical clinics, bring in dentists, those kind of things. Mission for All's work has caused people in those communities to ask the people from Mission for All, why are you doing this? And they say, because God loves you and we love you. And that leads to discussions about Jesus, which has led to the startup of Discovery Bible Study groups, which are groups that really just discover who Jesus is. Then as people in these groups begin to obey what they find in the Bible, entire communities have been transformed. For example, it is far less common for men in these groups to abuse their wives and their children. That they're finding ancient clan hostilities are ending. The changes in these villages became so obvious to neighboring villages that they also contacted Mission for All and asked them to come to their villages. God was working. Thousands of Muslims were deciding to follow Jesus. And as you might expect, this caused several Muslim clerics to band together and to seek to take action against Mission for All. They demanded that the ministry be closed down and that Hassan be deported. This conflict reached the office of the governor. And so the governor called a meeting. And let me just read to you how the meeting went. The governor called a meeting to attempt to bring a peaceful resolution to the situation. This gave Hassan the opportunity to talk openly with his country's leaders, telling them about the grace and saving work of God in the nation. He outlined some of the many ways that Mission for All and other Christians had ministered to many communities, the mobile medical clinics, the barefoot dentists, the safe water programs, seed banks, sports ministries, and simple schools, all for the purpose of serving Muslims. The imams and other leaders who were in attendance at the meeting, somewhat begrudgingly at first, all gradually acknowledged that Hassan was speaking the truth. After a while, Hassan stopped speaking and there was a brief silence. The governor broke the silence. It would appear, he said, if Muslims were doing as many good things for our people as these Christians are doing, we would not have a problem of Muslims becoming Christians. My recommendation is that we Muslims learn how to be better servants from these Christians. Many of the Muslim clerics who had entered that meeting burning to have Hassan deported walked away with his business card and plans for further conversation with him. That's the power of doing good. When we do good, we are showing the inbreaking of the kingdom. Jesus also went around demonstrating the inbreaking of the kingdom through this other circle, signs and wonders. It seems, as you read through the Gospels, whenever Jesus showed up, signs and wonders happened. In other words, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the mute would talk, the lame would walk, and the demonized would be delivered. When Jesus showed up, miracles happened. And those miracles showed, again, that the kingdom of God was breaking in. In Matthew 11, we find John the Baptist in a dark prison cell. He's been jailed. And he's wondering to himself, if Jesus really is the Messiah, why am I in prison? When is Jesus going to save Israel and establish the kingdom? He had a distinct way of thinking about that. He's probably thinking to himself, was I mistaken when I said Jesus was the Lamb of God? Was it all just misplaced hope? And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 to 6, we find the answer. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus' response to John's doubt was to share testimony of the inbreaking of the kingdom. Jesus was saying to John, John, this is what it looks like when the kingdom breaks in. When heaven comes to earth, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. John, you're seeing the kingdom breaking in. Your hope is not misguided. And signs and wonders didn't stop with Jesus. They continued with his disciples. Matthew 10:1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And that's exactly what the disciples went out and did. Then in the book of Acts, if you know the book of Acts, you see signs and wonders all through the book of Acts. And then beyond Bible times to the early church, a researcher or historian has written this. In researching the role of miracles in the first three centuries of the church, history points to the Holy Spirit's empowering of believers to perform miracles, signs, and wonders as being the single greatest factor contributing to the rapid expanse of the Christian faith in the first 300 years. And they've continued down through much of church history. What started with Jesus has continued down. And I would say as a church, we need to demonstrate the inbreaking of the kingdom in word and deed and through signs and wonders as well. Signs and wonders should be a normal part of our Christian experience. If Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13:8, then we should expect to see the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the demonized delivered. We shouldn't be surprised when the kingdom breaks in those ways. I love the story in Acts 3. We see the lame beggar healed by Peter and John, which caused people to be astonished. Peter responded to their astonishment with this question. Why does this surprise you? Peter expected the kingdom to break through and bring healing to the lame man. What surprised Peter wasn't the healing. What surprised Peter was the people's astonishment. For Peter, lame people walking is simply part of what happened when the kingdom breaks in. Why don't we see more of that today in the West? Why don't we see more miracles in the West? Well, first of all, I think one reason is we have a worldview that's very rationalistic. And churchgoers buy into that worldview too. If we can't explain it, it can't be happening. I also think another reason is our expectation level. In the West, we have low need and low expectation for miracles. In other parts of the world, they have high need, if God doesn't act, they're in trouble, and high expectation. In a lot of the world, there is no question that there is a seen and an unseen world, and they interact. Whether that view is Christian or another religious worldview, most of the southern world, they believe definitely in the seen and the unseen, and that those two worlds interact regularly. There's no question for people, for instance, in Mexico, as we go down and we minister in Mexico and we talk to people in Mexico, there's no question that there's a seen and an unseen world and that they interact. We have that question in Canada and North America, but not in places like Mexico and in Africa. I'll never forget, I've told this story before, but years ago now, we were down on a house build, and we were building a house down in Vicente Guerrero, and the dad was sick in bed, and he was in this cardboard shack laying in the bed, and he was sick, and Sue Card came to me and said, the family wants you, the pastor, to go pray for the dad. Pray that he would get better. So I grabbed a couple of guys, I went in and I prayed God would heal him and went out to build, and about 20 minutes later, there's Dad up and around. I'm like, what? You would think I'd talk about astonished, right? And I said, Sue, go ask the dad what happened. And she went over and asked the dad, and she said, God healed him. He said, I knew God would heal me once the pastor came and prayed for me. High need, high expectation. And there does seem to be a relationship between the openness of people to the miraculous and the miraculous activity of God. Thus, if we want God to work supernaturally, we must invite him and expect him to work. Anybody who knows me would know this. I'm an Orthodox follower of Jesus. But I'm also someone who is convinced the North American church has become anemic in our evangelistic efforts because of our fearful de-emphasis on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. As a church, we need to proclaim Jesus and his good news through word, through deed, and through signs and wonders. Folks, we need all three circles. But here's the problem. We often, in Christian world, go to the edges. We go to the edge of the world. Throw up the next slide there, Kevin. We go to the edge of the word circle. And when you have lots of word without deed or signs and wonders, that leads to smug self-rightness. Actually, it leads to ugly dogmatism. People on the edge of this become masters of the Bible, but they have not let the spirit of the Bible master them. As A.W. Tozer, a theologian, pastor, dude from the past, he said this, you can be as straight as a gun barrel theologically and as empty as one spiritually. That's what happens when you get to the edge of the world circle. It's an ugly empty. Some of the biggest jerks you will ever meet are people that have lots of Bible knowledge, but they have a mean spirit. Now, when you go to the edge of the deed circle, over here, when you go to the edge of the deed circle, you have the deed without word and signs and wonders, you become a human social justice movement. Here, the church becomes full of well-intentioned people doing good, but the reason behind their doing good is lost. It becomes, if you will, Christian humanism. Redemption is only in the present. The hope of Jesus and a new heaven and a new earth has been lost. And then you go to the edge of the signs and wonders movement, and when you have signs and wonders without word or deed, you get the bizarre. And some of you may have heard of strange things occurring when people go to this edge. You know, barking like dogs, laughing like hyenas, that kind of thing. And on the edge of the signs and wonders movement, you have some really poor theology. I've read some of it, and you go, no, you can't be doing that with those verses. That's what happens on this edge. And what happens is, people are on the edge here, right? This causes other Christ followers to throw the baby out with the bathwater and to say signs and wonders aren't for today. Signs of wonders shouldn't be happening. If we get involved, it's going to go to excess. And so they throw the baby out with the bathwater because they see the excess on the edge. But the problem is the Bible says don't quench the Spirit. Here's what also happens. Word-centered people become critical of deed-centered people. And they say, sure, they do good works, but they don't have any theological grounding. Word-centered people also look at signs and wonder-centered people and say they're just people that run around chasing experience after experience. And then deed-centered people, they judge the word-centered people as raving fundamentalists, all the while wondering when the signs and wonder-centered people will stop chasing spiritual highs and start acting justly. And the signs and wonder-centered people, they think of the word-centered people as dead legalists, and they look at the deed-centered people and say they're just a bunch of tree huggers. What we need to do, rather than point fingers, is we need to move to the center and become Christ followers who proclaim the good news in both word and deed and signs and wonders. I think the goal of every Christ follower should be to grow in appreciation and openness for all three dimensions. As a church, we need to move towards the center and embrace all three circles: the word, deed, signs, and wonders. We need all three, because when the good news is expressed through all three dimensions, we start to see heaven invade earth. We start seeing bodies and minds healed. We start seeing demons cast out. We start seeing lives restored. We start seeing people redeemed. We start seeing the under-resourced cared for. We start seeing communities transformed. We see the kingdom breaking in. The Makua tribe in Africa was a tribe a few years ago that had never ever heard about Jesus and his kingdom. And so some Christ followers felt called by God to go share the good news of Jesus and his kingdom with this tribe. They went in and they fed the hungry. They prayed for the sick, and Jesus performed miracles and healed. These missionaries spoke about Jesus and people in the tribe decided to follow him. Do you notice all three circles? They fed the hungry, deeds. They prayed, and God performed miracles, signs and wonders. They spoke about Jesus, the word. The result, people decided to follow him, and today there are hundreds of churches that have been planted amongst this tribe. Word, deeds, sign and wonder. We need all three. So here's a question for you today. Word, deed, signs and wonders. As you think about your life as a Christ follower, which one or two are you strongest in? And which area do you need to grow in? What about us as a church? Here's my thing of us as a church. I think we have a good word circle. I think we have a good deed circle, serve the city, living edge, all kinds of. I think we have a very small signs and wonders circle. Very small. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I don't have time to go into them. But we have a very small. So where do we need to grow? Kind of obvious. Do we want to see his kingdom come? Do we want to see the good news proclaimed? Do we want to see people redeemed? Do we want to see the brokenhearted healed, the captives find liberty, the blind see, and the oppressed find freedom? If we want to see those things happen, then we need to move to the center. We need all three circles operating in the church. We need to embrace the belief that God still heals, delivers, and speaks today, and that he wants to work through us. Acts 1:8 says this. But you will receive the power of the Holy when the you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word power in the Greek is dynamite power. We have dynamite power to do what? Did you notice it? To be his witnesses, to be his proof providers. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us with God's dynamite power so we can supply proof that Jesus is alive and that his kingdom is breaking in. We all know Canadians are not flocking to church today. And one of the reasons is they don't see that Christianity is any different or any more positive than any other religion. In fact, as they watch the news, they think Christianity is more negative than most other religions. But they don't see the difference. They just don't see the difference. Filled with the Holy Spirit's dynamite power, you and I, through words and deeds and signs and wonders, are called to be proof providers. Let's be that. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power, let's go out and let the Spirit move through us to heal the sick, to love the unlovable, to feed the poor, to set the oppressed free, to demolish strongholds, to break chains of addiction, to heal relationships, and to bring people into a life-giving, life-transforming relationship with Jesus. Let's show the world that Christianity really is different. Because Jesus is alive and his kingdom is breaking in. This week, let's pray together, church, for heaven to come to earth. Let's pray for revival and a great move of God. Let's pray to be the spark. Let's pray to be the spark. Let's pray together. Father, I simply pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us so that we can be your witnesses in word, deed, and power in our neighborhoods, in all of Victoria, in British Columbia, and to the ends of the earth.